praise the name of the Lord. You love Jesus Christ?
I love him.
Me too. We love him not just in the past, not just now, but until he comes.
Amen.
Then we won't stop loving him anyway. Praise his name. Well, there's a lot of us away today. Five, including my wife. So for whatever reasons, and we'll just carry on singing and invite the people that worship with us over the airways. So let us just pray at this time. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge you. We've come here, Lord, to worship you. We didn't need to, but we did. It's a sign of our love for you, Lord. The world outside generally doesn't. But we do. I often wondered where I would be standing if I was around the cross when you were being hung there for my sins and iniquity. Where would I be? Would I be at the base? Would I be a long way away? What would I be thinking about? Well, Lord, you know all of these answers. I don't. But Lord, we love you. We certainly do, Lord. We feel your presence. We know, Lord, that you care about everyone. And when you died on the cross of Calvary, you died for every single person that was ever produced on this world. You died for them. And Lord, we just say thank you because it was us that have acknowledged. And it was your love and your wooing us that made us concerned that we needed to do something about it. Why? Because we were born in sin. Everybody was born in sin. And we need to cover that. And the only one to cover that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us, Lord, to sing and worship you from our hearts today. Not just our head. Not just because there's people here. And you folks out there in the southern hemisphere, the northern hemisphere, whatever language and you speak, whatever color your skin is, God loves you too. And all we need, Lord, is to just consider the things of Jesus Christ, to communicate with you, Lord, to talk to you. And Lord, help them to be part of the service even though they're thousands of miles away. And those there in New Zealand, just bless them all, Lord. We wish them well, and we know that the Lord is the answer to everybody's need. No matter what the need is, you, Lord, are the answer. Praise your holy name, Lord, and just be with Howard when he brings the word to us later in the service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing, stand up, number 268? It's the Holy Ghost and fire.
It's Hannah. It's going to bring a greeting out to Tina and Angel Blair.
Okay. You love them?
Amen.
I've already asked that. You might have forgotten since I asked. But it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, it's the Holy Ghost and fire, keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive.
keeping me alive, and it's all over me, me alive, keeping me alive. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah to the Lamb.
Amen. You want to keep going, don't you? Well, that's what we want to do. I want to welcome this morning his brother Nico at the back there. It's good to see you. I've talked to your brother about coming here too. Jackson's your brother's name, as you know. But he might come one day, and it's Leah's sons, Jackson and Nico. So you're very welcome, Nico. Let's sing God Sent His Son. Number 266.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died. Yes, He did.
Pray.
Amen. Do you know the Lord died for you? Do you realize that he raised up because of you? Amen. Yes. Let's sing 246. Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know my Jesus? Let's sing it. Have you a heart that's weary? I was looking at it yesterday to picking what hymns to have. I always talk to the Lord first. And sometimes, you know, I select this number over here. But I thought about this one. Oh, well, I'll try this one here. But I come back to this one. And this was the words of this one that really spoke to me. Do you know? Do you know my Lord? That's what we need to get across to people, not by our words, but by the love of Christ in our heart for us and others. Let us be in the hands of Christ. Let's sing 2, 3, 4. He washed my eyes with tears. We don't have any items this morning, so we'll sing another song or two. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see the broken heart. My hand was good for me. He tore it all apart and looked inside. He found it full of fear and foolish pride. He swept away the fear that made me blind, and then I saw the clouds with silver light, and now I understand what's best for me. He washed my eyes with tears, so I might see. He washed my Yeah, that's true. You wipe my eyes that way. My father, as you mostly all know, was a preacher of the gospel. This gospel preached on this pulpit many times. And he used to preach as he should have and did and all that. But it didn't mean a whole lot to me until the Lord came and washed my eyes. It has to be. Has to be personal. And if I can give advice to anybody that just might hear that quiet, still voice of the Lord, or that gentle touch from the God, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing it. It's God that convinces us that we need a Savior. And that way, when we acknowledge that, He moves in. And suddenly you realized your tears have been dried up. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing number 205, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. Precious fountain, the healing.
Good to have Brother Taz here with his clarinet. I mean, your saxophone. Excuse me, brother. Your saxophone. We've got five people away of the regulars, at least, for whatever reasons, but the Lord knows. But it's good to have. You see, there's no guitars today as well, which we normally have. It's good to have you there, brother. Very good. Let's sing. One that I think you know, what a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege.
may be seated. We have some greetings here from Sister Hannah. I presume that's there in Florida. Trinidad originally. Sister Hannah Ojar. Yeah, Sister Ojar's daughter. And she just brings us greetings here because she listens in on the internet, as do quite a lot of others. And so we welcome them as we welcome all the others. You know, the Lord, He welcomes them all. He would just get the person that's down out on drugs and alcohol and crime, and He loves them too. It doesn't matter where they are. All they need to do is reach out and touch the Lord. Okay. Okay. Oh, well, Sister Hannah has some greetings for us. It's been recorded, so we'll have it now.
God bless you, Brother Howard. Hannah from Florida. I'm just letting you know the services on the internet is such a tremendous blessing to me. I've sent the messages to Trinidad, Guyana, Texas, Georgia. It's been a tremendous blessing to all that heard it so far. Sometimes we listen to it like four times. And the song service, oh my, what a blessing. I have no words to say how blessed we are over here, enjoying the awesome services, the presence, the anointing. We haven't heard songs like that in the churches over here anymore, so you all have stirred us up so much in this side. Thank you. God bless you. And continue doing the work. I'm looking forward so much for tomorrow's service. It's like we are in the church with you right now over there. So God bless you. And much love from the Oja family to you all over there. Keep us in your prayer while we pray for you, and thank you again. We have no words to say how blessed we are to be a part of this great, great work that you all are doing over there in New Zealand. God bless you. Bye.
Isn't that nice? We'd like to hear a few more testimonies from people that listen in, but it's very good when the likes of Sister Hannah has give us a bit of feedback to know that it's not just this few in the church here in Gisborne, New Zealand. It's probably a few thousand all the way around that are part of it. And it's all part of the family of God. So may the Lord bless Sister Hannah and all those whom she fellowships with. Brother Ojar, her father, has passed on now, but he's actually preached here and on this pulpit. And her mother, I think she was here at the time too. So it's good to know that when you hear back from some of the brethren, really, really nice. Well, we've got some prayer requests here, and I was going to ask Brother Bill, because he's very good when he comes. We might have a few, but he's got another pack a few to be prayed for as well so often. But I'll read what I have here. One is one of our locals, Sister Mari Claffey, who is currently in Tasmania, Australia, on holiday and has taken a flu virus. Pray for a quick deliverance from this sickness in the name of the Lord. And just pray for the upcoming Easter meetings in Louisville, USA, and Northern Ireland, for God to pour out His blessing and anointing on the services. Brother Howard's going to Louisville, USA, and Brother Brian Freeborn is going to Ireland. The Lugalugan family, who've just shifted from Auckland, have gone to Australia to live, and the Lord will help them to settle in quickly. I just continue to pray for Bette Frangos in Australia for healing. She's 89 years old and needs God's grace. I understand that she loves the Lord. We ask to lift up Israel as usual. We always try to remember that nation because it's God's anointed people. May the God have a blessing upon them. And we thank the Lord for many answered prayers. And we all do that. I mean, we all received answered prayers, but do we always say thank you? I try to remember. It's not hard to remember. It's just a matter of doing it. Thank you, Brother Bill, if you'd like to come up here, my brother. And
I was really hoping that Brother Lee will ask me to come and pray and won't ask Tez or Pete or something, because I was really blessed by what the Lord's been doing during the week. I was just thinking of Nico, you know, like Nico. That's such a cool name, Nico. I've taught children called Nico. But the Nico Palm, especially the ones up at the Haha Tazi and Rangitukia, where Nico's old people come from, they're an incredible palm tree. And the house that we own in Perot Street is called Nico House. Te Paranaki, named after Tazi's father's, the kind of houses they built in the bush made out of Nico. And the Nico is an incredible plant of God. When it comes up out of the ground, it's always the same width. That's what someone was telling me the other day. It doesn't start off as a small sapling and grow up. It grows like this, like about a foot across, and just comes straight up. And we've got some at the house in Perot Street. And so they have fronds on either side of the trunk. And under the frond is this sheath, and inside the sheath is the flower. And what happens is, like, you can be there, like, one day, like, in the morning, and when you go out later in the morning, the power of that flower, Nico, has popped the frond off the trunk, and the flower is in a sheath, and it just bursts open like this, and it's a really strong flower, and then the frond is lying on the ground. It's such an amazing thing that this little flower, well, it's quite a big flower, inside the sheath would have such power that it could pop the whole frond off the trunk, and then that flower comes through, and then it turns to seeds. It's an incredible tree. And at the Haha there's Nico's forever. But I just wanted to share, God is so powerful and mighty. This week we just had a testimony. We'd been praying for someone, and this person had been diagnosed with a tumor, and the mother felt to go down and pray for their child, and they gathered around, and they felt to lay hands on this person, and as they prayed, one of the children of this person, who's not a Christian, felt that their parent had been healed. And when the doctors, they were going to fly this person up to Waikato or up to Auckland to get treatment, and they thought it was cancerous, completely healed. And I thought, you know, and funny because I'm not a great prayer, but through the night, I had a really restless sleep that night, and the whole way through the night, I was just praying for this person who used to be a work colleague of mine. And now, that's not the best news, but they've all come to the Lord. The whole whānau have come to the Lord. Hey, Jan. And the second one I wanted to share, just so that before we go into prayers, is that so last night, remember that story I told you about that guy slipping backwards, head first down the... Yes. And nearly fell down into the river, but God, he cried out to God. Well, the fellow whose farm that is, I was talking to him last night at a wedding in Tokomaru Bay, and he was telling me he threw a lamb over the fence the other day and stuffed up his whole shoulder, felt like all the tendons and stuff had been ripped, and he's had problems with his shoulders for a long time. He was showing us all the scars. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, we'll have to do a scan to find out and then decide what we're going to do. He got back to the farm, rung up his daughter and son, and said, come down and pray for me. And they prayed for him. That was in the evening. In the morning, he got up, and he went like this with his hand, started to lift it up, 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 right above his head, and he was completely healed. That's our God. That's who we're coming before this morning to bring these prayers. Amen. So let's pray, eh?
Was that sister's name? Anna Oja.
Yeah, Lord, yeah, man, that just blesses me right off the planet, Lord, when we get just to hear from that sister in Florida, Lord, Sister Anna Oja and her whānau, Lord, and just how she's been sharing the gospel with other people all around the place in the Caribbean, and in other states in America, Lord, and just how you're just so real to her, Lord, and even in her voice, Lord, you can just sense the love of God in her voice, Lord. We thank you for her and bless her whānau, Lord, her mum, and her, I'm not sure if she's got a husband and children or whatever, Lord, but the people who she's connected with, Lord, just open the windows of heaven and pour out your richest blessing upon them today, Lord. And we thank you for that great encouragement of that message, that little message to us this morning, Lord. And Lord, we just want to lift up our dear sister Mari Claffey over there in Tasmania. We heard, Lord, you are mighty God. Nothing's impossible for you, Lord, so just raise her back up, Lord. We just want to pray for the up-and-coming Easter meetings in Louisville, Kentucky, Lord, that you would just come on the scene. We know it's just a waste of time if you're not on the scene. Lord, just come in a mighty way, Lord Jesus. And Beth Frangos, Lord, in Australia, Lord, just for a touch from you, Lord, just an extra measure of your grace in her life today. For Chris Langalunga and Mele and the children, Lord, as they settle in southern Australia, Lord. Lord, we're going to miss them, Lord. But we know we're going to spend an eternity with them, so really it doesn't matter too much, just for a little train whistle stop here on earth if they're living on the other side of the Tasman. But just bless them, and we pray for a blessing upon Brother Morris Tafatu and the brethren up there in Auckland and also the brethren in Niue. Lord, we just want to continue to lift up Israel, Lord. We know they're the apple of your eye, and we just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just continue just to keep them in the cup of your hand, in the bosom of your chest, Lord. Keep them safe, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, I want to just pray too for Mrs. Mounter. I forget her first name. I rang her the other day, Lord. She's a widow now, Lord, and Lord, she was just talking about how you've just come on the scene, Lord, and was such an encouragement to talk to her, Lord, and just pray that you just keep her safe, and Lord, just be the husband to the widow, Lord. We know you are. You promised it in your word. Just draw nigh to her, Lord. Want to pray for Beulah's got some girls coming up for a camp this week, Lord, at the beach. Some young Christian ladies, Lord, that they'll be a great encouragement to one another. Just pray for good weather, but more importantly, Lord, just really sweet fellowship and a time around your word, Lord, and that you draw them closer to yourself. And I just pray too, Lord, just for the little message I shared on Radio Ngāti Porou this morning, Lord. I know, Lord, in your word you say it will not return void, but it will fulfill that which it was purposed to do, Lord, and just pray that you just draw the people in Ngāti Porou, especially those Rangitukia people, Lord, just draw them unto yourself, Lord. Lord, maybe one time Tazi will have it on his heart and we can go up to Hine Pare or Hine Waiapu, Lord, and just have a karakia there with those precious people, Lord. Leah might come with us too, Lord. Go up and just have a karakia with those precious saints in Rangitukia. That's where the first message was preached, Lord, the message of the gospel to those people in Rangitukia, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for one another. Just bless those who aren't here and bless Howard as he brings the message, Lord, that it you'll anoint his lips, Lord Jesus, and that we'll have ears and hearts to receive it from you this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Bill. Always worry about Bill coming up here and praying because there's no more time left for the sermon. I say that jokingly, brother. But it's all good, whether it goes by sermons or by praying for people, the Lord's in it just the same. Just to let you know, the 1 p.m. service as usual today, luncheon as usual, and Tuesday 7 p.m. pre-meeting as usual. So we don't have any items, so let us stand and sing 198, and these the closing days of time. I mean, that is so close, it could be next month. Well, it's even happening now in effect, isn't it? Sorry that the side's empty. It's not that we don't love you folks, it's just that they're all sitting happy.
In these, the closing days of time, one joy, the
sing one more and then I'll get Brother Howard to come. Let's sing 277. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. There is, you know. We just got to know that it's the Lord. If you feel that stirring, that uplifting in your heart, that's the Holy Spirit doing it. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know
the Lord. Amen. Good spirit here this morning.
Hallelujah.
It's wonderful. Those testimonies were really wonderful, Brother Bill. God touching those people. Who believes the same yesterday, today and forever?
Amen.
He's a living God. He's not a God just of history. He's a living God, and he's actually the Lord Jesus Christ is in this room now.
Amen.
Who believes that? Say amen.
Amen.
And if you reach out to him, you can touch him, because he's wanting us to call upon his name, and he will meet our every need. So we bless his holy name, and we just welcome you all this morning. We welcome all those that are joining with us. Sister Hannah, there in Florida. I tell you, they've been really blessed. She's told me a few times, and also the people she's in contact with as well there. This ministry is going out amazingly, really. It's probably like Brother Lee says, we don't really know. But we just know of a few in Germany and Canada and who listen. Even Chris and Mally Lagaluga there in Adelaide, which they get up 2.5 hours before the meeting starts to hear the service live. So God bless you, Brother Chris, Sister Mally. It's great to have you in service this morning. It's cheaper than coming on an aeroplane, but it's not quite the same as being here. But God bless you, and we appreciate you very much. And Brother Morris, Te Whatu, they had a flea market display yesterday, and the brother sent Brother Kelowna's name, Tongan brother, sent some photos of their billboard and all the books displayed and everything. It was a real blessing. So God bless them all is my prayer. Well, we're here, a bit thin this morning, but we're made up with those out there. Praise the Lord. I am looking for the coming of our Lord. I really am, and I just pray that he will, by his grace, allow each of us to be gathered there on a glorious morning. It'll come so soon. It's getting closer and closer, and I just praise the Lord for it. Well, this morning we just got a little message that the Lord laid on my heart a few weeks ago, and I thought I'd better preach it, because I'm going away in a couple of weeks, as you know, and I just want to speak this morning, and I want to turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Hallelujah. Shall we just stand for the reading of God's word? Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Praise God. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning in your wonderful and most precious name. And Lord, how we need thee every hour, even now, Lord. We pray, Lord Jesus, you'll bring the message that you want said, Lord, to me and to the brothers and sisters here and those joining with us on the internet. May they be blessed too, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. We just thank you for this opportunity to gather together, Lord. May our hearts be in the right place to receive of thy word. We don't want it to fall into bad ground. We want to fall into good ground, and that it may bring forth life. And Lord, we just pray you'll bless each one here. And those that are away, Lord, bless them too, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You may be seated. It's a really simple message. It's not complex, I can tell you. But Jesus said that there's two gates. Not three, not four. There's two gates. One is called the straight gate, and the other one is the broad gate. And we've got to go in there sometime. So this sermon is not complex, and neither was Jesus' statement complex, and I don't want to make it any more complex than what it is, because it's simple. And he made it clear to us all. And I just pray that we will, from the Lord, receive what's been said. As I said previously, these points are very important to note. There's only two gates. You've got to go in one, or you've got to go in the other. One for things are sure, you will go through the gate. One gate. If we don't go through the straight gate, which leadeth to life, then we will have to enter the wide gate, which Jesus said leadeth to destruction. So the Lord's very clear on the instruction. Clear instruction from the Lord. And it's this, is not to come and look at the gate. Say, that's interesting. What a nice gate. You may say, it's a very appropriate gate. It's a good gate for people to go through. That's not the instruction. His instruction is this, enter in through the gate. Amen. Enter in through the gate. And I've just put a little title on this message this morning, which is, no loitering at the gate. Looking at the gate is not going through the gate. And I just think that's so important. So many people come up to the gate and admire the gate and look at it. But there's to be no loitering at the gate. And I just pray the Lord will help us to understand what that means. Loitering means, actually, there's a few meanings, but it means to linger aimlessly. Linger aimlessly without clear direction. And we also could be interpreted somebody who is double-minded. Oh, shall I go through it? Shall I not go through it? I like the gate. The gate's good. We're going to speak about this shortly. But it's got a lot of good things about this gate. But Jesus said, enter in. Go through the gate. Enter into the gate. Right into life. Who wants to do that? Oh, hallelujah. Brother and sister, we need to enter in to the gate. Praise be to God. But unfortunately, most will loiter at the straight gate of life. Jesus said so. There's going to be, the differences are enormous. How many go through the straight gate, and how many go through the wide gate? And the wide gate is innumerable. People will go through that gate. Most people on earth will go through the wide gate. And very few will go through the straight gate. I want to be in the straight gate.
Me too.
And the good thing is about it, you can. There's nothing to stop you. It's always been that way. So, it's a tragedy for most. They will go so close to the gate of life. Now, brother and sister, I have seen it even in my short time. I have seen many people come up to the gate or look very close to the gate of life. They want to go through it. They'd like to go through it. It'd be a good thing if they did. But actually, at the end of the day, they don't. They don't actually step through it. And often they go back. They go away from the gate completely. And so we're speaking about no loitering at the gate. So They get so close to the gate. Now listen, this is really something that's been very real to me over the years. It's not how close you get to the gate, not how close you get to God. And that's good to get closer to Him, but it's more than that. It's more than just getting close to God, it's entering into God. And crossing over into that gate of life. You know, it reminds me, I can't help thinking about it, those that got so close but they were lost. I think it's just such a sad story. And this is a sad story if you can catch the meaning of it. And if we turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 10 verse 17, we will see the story of the rich young ruler example, because he wanted to go through the gate and receive eternal life. Let's just read this, Mark chapter 10 verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. Now listen, when a person comes running, there's an urgency. They're not just walking up and say, oh well, I'll just see what this Jesus of Nazareth has to say. No, he came running. There was an urgency to ask a very important question. So we can see this man is not just playing around. He wants to come, and he kneels down to Jesus in respect and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? The best question he could have asked. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Isn't that wonderful for ministers to think about? I always think of that. It's not how good a minister is. There's only one good, and that is our Lord. All glory goes back to Him.
Amen.
You know, I can't help thinking of the time I spoke to Howard Morrison, and it was in Rotorua, and Tina was getting a degree or something, or diploma, I don't know what it was, but he was there, and they had a sort of a break, and I went up to him and said, hi, Howard. I said, my name's Howard too. And I said, I've always admired your wonderful voice. You've always sang very well, and it's just so sweet. And he said, he put his hand up like that. And he said to me, all glory goes to God. And that was a real blessing to me. We've got to give all glory back to Him. And even Jesus didn't take it upon Himself. He could have, but He didn't. And so we see, as we read on, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things I have observed from my youth. He was brought up a Christian. He was brought up in the church. He knew what was right and what was wrong. He was a good man, came from good blood, as we would say. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Isn't that amazing? This is an amazing story, brother and sister. Here comes a man running, urgency, wanting to get eternal life, comes to the right person, respects him, kneels down, and Jesus loved him. And you know, everything's looking good. All the ticks are there. He's doing very, very well. He's come right to the fountain of life. He's come right to the door. He's come right to the gate of eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man enter in by me, he shall receive life. And so we see him there. It's just amazing. And then he makes a statement, master, I have observed from my youth. All these have I observed from my youth. I keep the word. I live right. I do right. I believe he's a good man. We know that he was quite well off. And I believe he helped the poor. I believe he would have been well fitting in the community. I believe he was well known. And people say, oh, he's going to go places, this man. Because He lives the life. He does good works for everybody. He's respected. He's kept the Ten Commandments from his youth. His mother's taught him, and he's gone to the temple, and everyone knows the rich young ruler. And Jesus loved him. And then he made a statement. You know, Jesus, who was the Word of God, who knows he was the Word of God? God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And there he was, the Word of God. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing us to the very soul and the most intense of the heart. He looked past the nice clothes he was wearing, and he went straight to the rich young ruler, and he said, "There's only one thing thou lackest." Ooh. I tell you, if Jesus tells that to me, I want to sit up and listen. That's all it takes. One thing. And he said, "There's one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." Everything went bad because he said, the Bible says, and he was sad at that saying. Even though he'd lived pretty good, done all things right, Jesus said, "There's one thing that's bothering you, and I can see it. The discerner of the thoughts of men's hearts saw." He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And you know, when you come to this church, into the foyer, you can see that rich young ruler on the wall, a painting we've got of him there. There's Jesus standing there. And you see Jesus pointing down to the beggars and the poor people next to him. And you see the rich young ruler looking. And it's a really good expression by Hoffman. And he's trying to work out, what shall I do? You see, brother and sister, he wanted to enter the narrow gate, the straight gate that goes into eternal life. And he came right to the right gate. He did. But then he turned away. So close, but lost. Terrible. I just think it's a tragedy. The man really wants it. But there's one thing holding him back. You see, it only takes one thing in our life that we stand against it that can cost you badly. I want to read you something Brother Branham said about that. He says, if you're a member of a church, that's good. That's a good thing, he says. That's a good thing. But that's not good enough. See, the rich young ruler was a member of the church. And he asked Jesus what could he do to have eternal life. He never accepted it. He walked away. What a foolish thing for that young man to do. Don't take his place, he says. You remember the last time he was identified in the Bible? A little later, he prospered and he got richer and he got to a place where till even the barns began to burst. He pulled down barns and built new ones. But then we find his last identification was in hell. He got the wrong gate. Flames tormenting him. Don't let that happen to you. Accept Christ. So getting closer to Christ is a good thing, but it's not good enough. You know, the rich young ruler might have been standing maybe a foot away from Jesus. People say, if I could walk with Jesus, it takes more than just walking next to him. It takes more than just being in his presence. And those things are wonderful. We all love that. But it's entering into Christ. Entering through the gate. That's what we need to do. Maybe after kneeling at Jesus' feet, he was standing right next to him. Everything looked good and people standing by could have thought, surely this man will enter in. Surely. He's sincere. He's knelt down. He's called a master. And Jesus loved him. He kept the Ten Commandments. He kept all those things. But sadly, like so many, he only came so far. That's why Jesus said it's very few that go through this gate. They always go through the other gate. It's an easier access. He was found loitering at the gate of eternal life. He was loitering. Shall I not? I can tell you, he must have had a lot of questions when Jesus said, sell all you got and give it to the poor. Take up the cross and follow me. Maybe he was thinking about, oh, what about this? What about that? He was loitering. Don't loiter. Make a decision and go. The Bible says he was sad at Jesus' answer. And he left without entering in. Yes, Jesus is the gate to the sheepfold. We know that. But most will wind up loitering in the state of indecision. Now, brothers and sisters, we're talking to Christians here. Of course, it applies to those out there as well, of course. But they're loitering in the state of indecision. I am determined, I've made up my mind. Who loved that chorus? I am determined, I've made up my mind, I will serve the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you've got to be all out for God or miss it. The gate will be closed and there'll be nobody going through it. Now then you say, oh brother, how this is tough. It's good that it's tough. I love to hear tough messages that stirs me. I love to be stirred up because I get into a state of slumber, slothfulness, spiritually speaking. I don't want to do that. Praise the Lord. God bless Sister Pauline. Good to have you back with us. Into the fold. And so we see this man was in this state. One time Jesus made a statement to a Jewish scribe. You can look this up if you want to in Mark 12:34. He said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. That was sort of a nice thing to come to his ears. But we never ever find that he ever entered in through the gate. It's not how close you get to God, it's whether you enter into God. Now these things are very real, brothers and sisters. I know they are. Never stand loitering at the gate. Never stand in the state of indecision. The reality of it all is most will make that fatal mistake. Now, I don't like saying that. You know, I don't even like saying that, but that's what Jesus said. Most will not enter in. Oh, I think that's awful, but that's what he said. That's right, brother. Jesus said so. Speaking of the wide gate, most will be there. Many there be which go in thereat, and few there be that find the straight gate. We all know that few means few. Though the thing for us to do is make sure that we are part of that few. Who wants to be part of the few? Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, this is no restrictions. You can, you can't. It's for whomsoever will. Let him come. The gate is wide open for anyone to walk through. But you have to do the walking. You have to do it. Let's just look at another scripture here about people getting so close but tragically miss it. Now, this man got really close. It's found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, this is at the wedding supper, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment, had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, see how Jesus always... He's always nice to people and loving. He doesn't just, you know, it doesn't matter who they are, he'll give them an opportunity. A lot can be said on that subject. He saith unto him, friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Don't get into a speechless state with God. I never want to be speechless. I want to have a testimony that the Lord Jesus has saved me and redeemed me, and I love him. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. So we all have to admit that that man got very close to the wedding supper. He's seated down. Now, I don't know how he got in there, but Jesus said he was there. But he lost it. He missed it. What was missing? He went to church? Yes. He loved a clean life? Yes. He did a lot of good things. Yes. He's getting all the ticks. But he was found without a wedding garment. And we all know that the wedding garment is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, we had a whole series on this recently. You know, brothers and sisters, we go to church, we can be used of God, we can be gifted and all those things. That's good, but you need to have the baptism. It's something it's imperative that you get that. And it's for you this morning. Like the man that came running to Jesus, he wanted it. But when he was given the opportunity to get it, he was sad because he didn't want to have to give up this. He didn't want to have to give up that. Oh, you mean I can't do this anymore? I can't. No, brother and sister, I am determined. I've made up my mind. I will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Just want to read you something that Brother Bam said on this too, because it's very good. Now take John 10, I believe it is. He said, I am the door. See, I am the door that you enter in by. You can't come in by the church. You can't come in by ministry. You've got to come in yourself. Amen. Now there he stands at the door. There is a man that puts a robe on him. The Holy Spirit to give him the robe of righteousness when he comes in. Now, this man had come by some organization back at the window over there, a slip hole or something. He got in at the table and sat down. And then when the bridegroom comes up, he looks around. He says, what are you doing here like that without the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And all these things. How did you ever get here? He came in somewhere besides the door. There's only one access is through this gate, the narrow gate, and that narrow gate is Jesus Christ. Amen. And he came without the proper invitation. So he came by some educational system or something like that. He got in and he said to them, bind them hand and feet and cast them into outer darkness where there be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He went into the tribulation period. He did not come in by the door. So this narrow gate, the straight gate, is very important. Don't stand around it. Don't loiter. Loitering. Ah, shall I commit my life properly to God? Shall I be prepared to give up this, give up that? Brother and sister, don't loiter at the gate. Jesus said, enter in. Enter in through the straight gate. Who wants to enter in this morning? Just through the straight gate. It's life and death. As simple as that. Jesus said so. Trying to get in some other way. There's only one way we can enter in. It's going through him. Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Through Christ Jesus. Jesus really exalts us all. When he says, let's turn to Luke 13. Now, this is very straightforward. This is a very revealing scripture we're going to read. Very sobering stuff. I want you all to read it. Luke 13:24. Don't wander to enter in. Don't wish to enter in. Oh, it could be good if I do get in. It would be nice. It says, strive to enter in. Striving to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in. Like the rich young ruler, he sought to enter it and shall not be able. Brother and sister, we've got to strive to enter in. Now, I want to say there's no restrictions for anybody entering in this morning. God has not put restrictions down, but he wants you to enter in. Whomsoever thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Isn't that wonder? Whomsoever. Not if you're a church member, not if you're brought up right. Those things are good. But whosoever's thirsting, you strive to enter in. For many, I say unto you, seek to enter in, shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up, that's our Lord, and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without, to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord. Now, that's exactly what the rich young ruler did. He came and he said, Master. Oh, my. Lord, open unto us. And he shall say unto you, I know not whence ye are. Then you shall begin to say, thus speaking back to him, and the saying to the Lord, we have eaten and drunken in thy presence. These people have been in the presence of God. They have been at the big conventions. They have been touched and felt the presence of God. This is reality. Thou hast taught in our streets. I've heard good teaching by the Holy Spirit through ministry. But he shall say, I tell you, you know not, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Workers of iniquity. Iniquity is simply this, that you know to do something and you refuse to do it. That's iniquity. It's one thing not to know, but when you do know and you won't do it, that's iniquity. He said, you are workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. That man at the wedding table, he was thrust out. You get so close. The rich young ruler got so close, but he wasn't earnest. Even though he came running. He came running to ask Jesus. He got looks good. He kneeled down. He went to church. He prayed. But when God asked him to do something, he couldn't do it. Don't let any of us stand loitering. Enter into a full baptism. It's for you. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's the most glorious experience I could possibly tell you of. It's reality. I could not stand just being in church and being a church member or a preacher. I want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's life. You could feel it this morning when Brother Lee was here. You could feel something. He's here. Who believes God's here?
Amen.
If you reach out and open your heart to him and say, Lord, yes, I want to be baptized. I really want to be baptized with thy Holy Spirit, Lord.
Amen.
Fill me now, Lord, fill me now. We need to enter in. You know, indecision is a devil's curse. Indecisions are weird. A most evil thing. You need to kick it out of your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Get rid of indecision. Make up your mind. I'm going all the way with God's despised few. Who wants to go all the way?
Amen.
Oh God, let it be, Lord Jesus. So many will loiter around the church. Yes, they come very close, but closeness is not good enough. It is true, some seek to enter in, but never make that final step to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some tend to rely upon that they were once in the presence of God, and they may have been. They felt God's presence. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, the Bible says. As you said before, maybe in some convention, some good meeting, saw people being blessed and you were feeling blessed. Oh, this is wonderful, but that's not entering in necessarily. It's on your way, but God wants you to enter right in. Where they heard real good teaching of the word. But as Jesus said in our reading, when people will say, we've eaten and drunken in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets, they are good things, but they are not good enough. You've got to go through that gate, enter in through the straight gate. Many have praised the Lord, made great prayers. But Jesus made this sobering statement. And brother and sister, I want us all to take this on board this morning. This sobering statement our Lord Jesus made, and I challenge myself every day with it. We're going to read it now, and it's found in Matthew 15:8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their lips. Oh, my gracious eternal Father in heaven, oh God, I come to thee. Sounds good, and it may be. But he says, they draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is not after him. They're just going through religious form. But in vain they do worship me. In vain. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Brother, sister, God is not interested too much about your doctrine. Did you know that? But I'll tell you what he's really interested in is your heart. God is looking at your heart. I'd rather be wrong with doctrine and right in my heart, Brother Paul, wouldn't you? Than the other way around. I want to be right in my heart. Even my doctrine's not 100%. If I'm right in my heart, God can straighten me. I believe he will. Because he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, that's the Holy Ghost, he will guide you into all truth. Because he is the Word of God. So, brother and sister, don't just draw nigh unto him with their mouth. I've seen people shout and praise God, make me look like a heathen. I was so stiff and starchy. When I was younger, you know, I was too afraid to raise my hand. I was scared. I have a little sermon about worship. I tell people, look, you know what you need to do? We're going to make a sacrifice of praise. I'm digressing somewhat, but anyway, we've got to make a sacrifice of praise. It's going to cost you, Brother Paul, to worship God. It's not going to be, it doesn't come naturally. The flesh doesn't want to do it. The flesh wants to hide. Are afraid somebody be looking. But he wants to hear our praises and our worship unto him. I say to people, make a sacrifice. They say, how do you do it? I say, start simple. I go like this. When you're in the presence of God there and people there and you're too afraid, just raise your finger. Say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God sees your finger. You're raising your finger to God. Then as the Spirit comes down upon you more, you say, praise the Lord. It's getting stronger. Thank you, Lord. And then when the Holy Ghost hits you, the garment of praise comes upon you. It's hallelujah, praise God, I love you, Jesus. You don't care what others think. You're in the presence. And you're having communion with him. Brother and sister, until we get there, we're going to be most miserable. Who believes that? Amen. It's getting into the presence of God. Not being able to explain everything away. It's getting into his love and his power. So Jesus is looking at our hearts to see it coming from here, not from just our actions. They do get anointed, that's true. The Bible, Jesus said again in Matthew 7:21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, 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 shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. God loves you to obey. Listen, brother and sister, I'm learning this. I'm not a perfect Christian by a long shot. But I want to say this. You want to get closer to God? Start obeying him. Do as you're told. Just do it. So I can't do it. Lord, I'm doing it unto you. You've told me I've got to get rid of this. I've got to do that. I'm going to do it. Because I love you. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the identification of love of God. People say, I love God, but are you obeying him? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Many will say unto me on that day, oh, there's some sad stories. But Jesus bringing out the rich young ruler and here in this other reading, now this one. Many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Listen, these people had gifts, anointed, could prophesy under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't put you in heaven. God can use a gift. He can anoint you. They use false prophets to prophesy. Sometimes. Balaam and all those. Men will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? No question. He didn't argue about that. He just said, then I will profess unto you them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't want to be in that. Who wants to obey the Lord? Lord Jesus, I just want to do what you say. If you've told me to change my attitude, I'm going to have to change it, that's all. I just want to change it. I'm going to have to say sorry to somebody. I'm just going to have to do it. If you've told me to go and help somebody, I just want to go and help them. Do what God tells you to do if you want to please him. So we see even miracle workers by the Spirit of God, but they never entered in the straight gate. It's a straight gate. I always think of it as a straight jacket. It's like a straight gate is there's no compromise. A wide gate is flexible. You know, you can do this and do that and be a bit of God and a bit of this. Not the straight gate. The straight gate wants real, true believers. That's our Lord Jesus. We're coming through. They loitered with other hindrances, these people. They're righteous, religious. These were religious loiterers stumbling at obeying the word of God. Oh, yes, they can jump. They can sing. They can praise God. But they are disobedient to the word that he is speaking to them about. Now, brother and sister, you don't have to obey what I see. You don't have to obey what I see in the word. You have to obey what God has shown you in the word. Who believes that? You're not walking in my revelation. You're walking in what God has shown you. And it's so important. If God is showing you something, somebody says, that doesn't bother me. Yes, but God hasn't spoken to you about that. If he's spoken to me about it, then I'll walk in it. I want to walk in it. Whatever he tells me to do, that's what I'll do. Many will become hearers only and not doers of the word. You can read that in James 2:22. Yes, so close, but not close enough. Fully abiding in him. Total surrender. The bride of Jesus Christ will be a totally surrendered person. They won't have any presets. They're going all the way with God. If he says it, I'm going to do it. So in closing, I want to speak out. Time is running out. Let us emphasize once more. Time is running out. Brother and sister, I have said this to somebody recently. I believe the coming of the Lord, I said to my wife this morning. I came to the kitchen and I said, it's close. She looked at me. I said, the coming of the Lord is right here. In an hour when you think not, he'll come. It'll be all over. The door will be shut then. It will be shut. Time is running out. There's no time to be loitering anymore. Choose this day whom you'll serve. You know, brother and sister, this is an absolute repeat of Noah's day. Jesus said so. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. Yeah, he's bringing this prophecy of our day. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's speaking about the conditions that were prevalent in Noah's day will repeat at his coming. For as it was in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. There it is. Most are just stood loitering at the ark door. I'm sure there were people questioning. Shall I go in or shall I not? I've seen the animals go in, but should I go in? They loitered at the gate. Then without warning, the door shut. Who shut it? Wasn't Noah. God shut the door. And brother and sister, don't loiter at the gate, because it will not be open forever. Let's just read that scripture. In Matthew 24:39. And they knew not until the flood came, when they're still loitering at the gate and saying, shall I not? And all of a sudden, the fountains of the deep broke open, and there was a great clap of thunder. And then down came a deluge. While they were thinking and loitering at the gate, had it already closed. And Jesus said, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Thus saith the Lord. When I think of those things, it sobers me up. And Jesus concludes concerning the sobering thought in Matthew 24:42, just down a bit. Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour, what hour your Lord doth come. Be ye therefore ready for an hour when you think not. You say, no, another 10 years. When you think not, he'll come. He may come this afternoon. Are you ready? Are you really ready to go, brother and sister? Have you entered that gate? You can enter right now. It's entirely up to you. May God have mercy upon us all. May he have mercy upon my soul. You know, brother and sister, I just want to say this. The churches have lost it. And I was talking to Brother Taz today, or yesterday. The churches have lost their plot. It's just all entertainment. It's just all Jesus loves me. You know, and he does. But, you know, just I saw a bumper sticker that really grieved me once and said, smile, Jesus loves you. There's more to it than a smile. It's obedience. You've got to walk through the gate. Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate. You've got to enter in. Now, it didn't say enter into church, and that's good. You've got to enter into that gate and say, Lord, I've come running to you, Lord. I've come and I want eternal life. I want to enter and I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean business. Start getting on your knees a bit more. Making time, getting alone with God yourself. He'll come to you. He'll come like that. I've had it. Tell you about this. Sitting in my little prayer room. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes on me. Just so wonderfully. I say this in total honesty. And I just start speaking in unknown tongues. It's just so powerful. It just don't know where it comes from. It's sort of outside of me, but it comes down on me, and I feel it in my soul. Now, brother and sister, you need to really reach out to God. I'm glad I got the Holy Ghost when I was 14. I want more of Him. Who wants more of Him?
Amen.
Let's just stand to our feet, shall we? Hallelujah, Lord. Every head bowed. Every heart bowed. It's not just our heads bowed, it's our hearts we need to bow. Lord Jesus, we come to You this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we all desiring, each one of us, to enter the straight gate. You said, for few will be that find it. Many will seek to enter and shall not be able to. Lord, we don't want to go to the broad gate. We have no desire for that. We want You. Lord, we just want to be with You because we love You. And Lord, we just pray that You'll bless every brother and sister here and those out there on the internet listening at this time. Lord, may You bless them. Wherever they are, You are. You're looking for open hearts. Just pray You'll bless them, Lord. Just, Lord, bless Sister Hannah and all those brethren that she knows that are seeking You. Those there in Trinidad are listening too, Lord. May You bless them. We want to go all the way with You, Lord. We don't want to hold back. It's too late in the day to be holding back. We're going to run up that arc door. We're going to run into the straight gate while the opportunity's there, while You're calling us, Lord. May we answer the call. May we thirst to be in there, Lord. May we be willing to surrender all. It doesn't matter what it is. We thought, oh, I don't want to give up that. But, Lord, You're telling us, I've got to get rid of that. It's holding me back from that gate. Lord Jesus, take it out of me. Lord, burn it out of me with the Holy Spirit. May it come down and burn me. Burn it out and give me the love of God in my heart and a commitment, sold outness to Thee, our Heavenly Father. I ask, Lord, You bless everyone here, Lord. May we just do what the song says. Surrender all. That's what we need to do. I pray the young people will take inventory, take stock of themselves. Oh, I've come to church. Mum and Dad are Christians. That's not good enough. I'm going to make my own choice to enter that gate. And I don't want to loiter there. I want to enter in the straight gate. Lord, bless each one here, we pray, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. All to Jesus I surrender. Say this. God doesn't want 99% of you. It won't work. He wants 100% of you. He wants all of you to be His bride. He wants all of you to be at that wedding supper. He wants all of you to be in that rapture. If you've been holding back and you've been loitering, say, Lord, I'm finished with this. I'm coming all the way. This is it, Lord. You have to make that choice. I can't make it for you. If I would, I'd come do it now, but I cannot. I've got to make my own choice. I'm going all the way. Will you sing this again? Anybody like to come forward for prayer? Maybe you want to kneel at the altar? I don't know. But you've got to be in business because time's running out.
The gate will close very soon.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Surrender, kneel right where you are. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you just as I am. I don't want to loiter anymore. Oh, no, Lord. I'm coming all the way with you. You just do that. God will meet you right where you are. I promise you, He's there now. Praise the Lord. All
to Jesus I surrender.
know, I'm just thinking that people, not necessarily in this auditorium, but that listening on the airwaves. And I've had people tell me that they're too scared to talk to God. And I said, why are you talking to me? I'm not God. But that's all you do. You just speak. But you know what? For those that may be in that situation, scared to talk to God, know this. If you have a desire in your heart, just the desire, God reads that. He knows what you think. So start. Talk to Him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we're very grateful for what we've just heard. We know it's true. We've tasted of the loveliness of the Holy Spirit that's around and about us. And we want to be a greater part of it, Lord. And it's open to all. All we got to do is follow that desire. And it's only, hello, Lord, here I am. You know my name. And you do, Lord. You know where we live. You know all about us. You know our problem. Excuse me. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you that we were able to hear what we've heard today. Lord, just be with us this afternoon at our 1 p.m. service, Lord. Uplift us, encourage the people that listen in. Be with us, Lord, with our luncheon and fellowship. Bless the food that was prepared. Bless the people that brought it along. And may we just be uplifted because of the Spirit of God that will continue to be around us. And we thank you for that. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.